Imagine you've been paying your mortgage, right,
Yeah.
for like 15 years, build up some equity, and then, well, life happens. You know, things get tough and you fall behind on payments, but you're trying to work things out. Then your lender forecloses, they sell your house, but for like way less than it's worth. And then, bam, they just make a huge profit. Doesn't seem fair, does it?
You're hitting on a really important point, and it's at the heart of Murphy versus Financial Development Corporation.
That's a 1985 case, right?
Yeah, New Hampshire Supreme Court.
And it kind of digs into this whole messy world of foreclosure law. We've got the court documents, legal analysis, even a dissenting opinion. So we're going to break it all down for you, figure out what went down and why it matters.
Exactly.
So first off, can you tell us about the Murphys? How'd they end up in this situation?
Sure. Richard and Beatrice Murphy, they bought their home in Nashua, New Hampshire back in 66,
Six, okay.
refinanced in 1980. But then in 81, Richard loses his job and they start falling behind on mortgage payments.
Job loss, falling behind. That's unfortunately pretty relatable for a lot of people. But I think you mentioned earlier that the Murphys had a lot of equity in their house.
Yeah, that's a key part of this case. Even though they were behind on payments, they had built up at least $19,000 in equity, and they were trying, really trying, to avoid foreclosure, even working to pay back those missed payments.
So they were trying to do the right thing, had a good chunk of equity, but the lenders still foreclosed. What happened at that sale?
Well, the lenders, they followed all the procedures, the notices, the timelines, everything. But here's where it gets interesting. The lenders, they knew the property was worth $46,000 an appraisal back in 1980.
Okay, so they knew it was worth more than the mortgage amount, right?
Way more. But at the sale, they were the only bidders, and they bid the bare minimum, just the $27,000 owed on the mortgage.
Wow. Seems pretty strategic. So did they make a profit?
Oh, yeah. They immediately sold it for $38,000.
Wait, so they knew the property was worth more, got it cheap at the foreclosure sale, and then flipped it for a profit. Doesn't seem right, even if they technically followed procedure.
Right. And that's the question the court had to answer. Did the lenders do enough to get a fair price, knowing the Murphys had all that equity? And that's where this idea of fiduciary duty comes in.
Fiduciary duty. For those of us who aren't lawyers, what does that even mean?
Okay, imagine you hire a financial advisor. You're trusting them to manage your money to do what's best for you, not just for them.
Right, there's that trust, that obligation.
Yeah. Fiduciary duty is like that, a higher ethical standard. It goes beyond just following the rules. So the question is, did the lenders have a duty to act in the Murphy's best interest, even during the foreclosure?
Interesting. So even if they could foreclose, they still had to make sure the Murphys weren't being taken advantage of.
Exactly. And New Hampshire law actually backs that up. RSA 479.25 requires lenders to act in good faith, to take reasonable steps to get a fair price. It's not enough to just go through the motions.
So did they meet that fiduciary duty standard? What did the court say?
Well, the majority opinion, they found that the lenders, yeah, they breached their fiduciary duty to the Murphys.
So the court sided with the Murphys, saying the lenders didn't do enough to protect them.
Basically, yeah. The court said they failed to do their due diligence in getting a fair price for the property, and they pointed out some specific failures.
Like what? What didn't the lenders do?
Well, they relied on that old appraisal from 1980, even though the Murphys had, made improvements to the house since then.
So no updated appraisal. That seems pretty basic to make sure they were getting a fair price.
Exactly. And they didn't set a minimum bid, an upset price, so the property wouldn't be sold for too little.
Oh, minimum bid. So like setting a floor for the sale price to protect the equity.
Exactly. And they didn't advertise the sale much, so fewer buyers, which probably contributed to that low sale price.
Okay, old appraisal, no minimum bid, limited advertising. Sounds like they were trying to keep the price low. But you said the lenders knew the Murphys were trying to avoid foreclosure.
Yeah, they knew about the equity in the Murphys' efforts, but they refused to postpone the sale to give them more time.
Didn't really want to give them a chance. What about damages? The Murphys lost their home and maybe a lot of equity.
The trial court, they'd given the Murphys $27,000.
The difference between the market value, like $54,000, and that $27,000 sale price.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court, they said that wasn't the right way to calculate it.
Why? What was wrong with that?
They said it should be based on a fair price, what the price would have been if the lenders had done their due diligence, gotten new appraisal, advertised better, maybe postponed things.
So not just the difference between the sale price and market value, but what it could have been if the lenders had acted fairly.
Exactly. They send it back to the lower court to recalculate the damages based on that fair price.
Big ruling. Holding lenders accountable, making sure they're not just following the rules, but acting ethically, too.
Absolutely. But there was a dissent. Justice Brock, he argued a low price alone shouldn't mean a sale is invalid.
Interesting. Worried about making it too hard for lenders to foreclose, even if they were technically following the rules.
Yeah, part of it. He thought the majority focused too much on equity and didn't clearly define what those reasonable efforts from the lenders should be. Didn't think there was enough to prove they acted unreasonably.
Okay, so balancing protecting borrowers, but also making sure lenders can do their jobs. Tough balance. But why does this case, Murphy v. Financial Development Corporation, still matter today, almost 40 years later?
Well, it shows that tension between the rules and ethical behavior, important in areas like foreclosure, where people's homes are on the line.
Like you said, checking boxes isn't enough. Lenders have to act fairly, especially with so much power in these situations.
Exactly. Murphy set a precedent. It's influenced how courts look at what lenders have to do, making them responsible for a fair price. And that still affects lenders and borrowers today.
So what are the takeaways? What can we learn from this?
Lenders, they need to document everything. It's not enough to say they follow the rules. They have to show they tried to get a fair price. Appraisals, advertising, thinking about the borrower's equity and their efforts.
Proving they protected the borrower, not just their own profits.
Exactly. And for borrowers, Murphy shows them they can challenge a sale if they think the lender didn't do enough, especially when there's a lot of equity.
So know your rights, ask questions, get legal advice if something seems off.
Yeah. Don't assume everything's fine just because they're following procedure. Know your rights, fight for yourself, and if anything feels wrong, get a lawyer.
Good advice. This case really highlights how important it is to understand your rights and obligations, whether you're the lender or the borrower. But it seems like there are lessons here that go beyond just foreclosure law.
Definitely. If we look at the bigger picture, it really kind of foreshadows a lot of the issues that we see now with predatory lending and the housing crisis, right? Like, it reminds us that the law should be protecting people, not just helping companies make a quick buck.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the rules and then, you know, what's ethical. Like, just doing the bare minimum, is that enough? Especially when it's someone's home, their financial future.
Right. And what role do the courts have? Making sure things are equitable, even when, even within the laws as they are.
Yeah. Murphy v. Financial Development Corporation. It's a good reminder that, you know, these cases aren't just about winning or losing. They set these precedents. They change how we understand the law. And ultimately, I guess it's about trying to create a system that's fair, but also, you know, works.
It also shows how one case from New Hampshire can have this ripple effect. Like, it can influence legal thinking all over.
This deep dive into Murphy has been really interesting. It makes you think about the real people involved, the impact. Like, even these legal processes that seem straightforward, they can have huge consequences.
Yeah, and it reminds us, you know, lawyers, whether they're working for lenders or borrowers, we have to really understand this stuff, the nuances, and fight for outcomes that are legal, but also ethical.
And for anyone listening, you know, if you're facing foreclosure, dealing with mortgage problems, it shows how important it is to get legal advice early. Know your rights. Check out your options.
Don't assume everything's okay just because the lender is following procedure. You know, ask questions. Stand up for yourself. And if something feels wrong, get a lawyer involved.
Great advice. Mm-hmm. So wrapping up, Murphy v. Financial Development Corporation sends a pretty clear message. Following the rules, not always enough. Mm. There's a responsibility to be ethical, especially when someone's home is at stake, their whole financial future.
And it makes you wonder, right? Does this idea of fiduciary duty going beyond just the rules, does that apply to other areas of law? What about trustees, executors, even lawyers?
Things to think about.
Yeah.
Leave you with that. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Murphy v. Financial Development Corporation. Catch you next time for another exploration of the legal world.